My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have a teaching in Ephesians again. We're going to the last chapter, Ephesians in chapter 6. Now get your Bibles out and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right. This is right. Honor ye thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on this earth." The promise. This is the promise that you tell these children, that if they would, you know, honor their parents, you know, they would truly honor their parents. This has a promise, and if you do, you may have a long life on this earth. I know a bunch of kids that I know that have not really liked their parents. There's no doubt about that. And so it's really too bad, because of the fact that it's going to make a difference down the road, because they're not going to have a long life on this earth. I don't think so. So let's look at verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord." You see, too many parents today are leaving the upbringing of their children to the Lord up to the church, and they're not doing it themselves. And if we're admonished, we're supposed to bring our children up in the Lord. They should know it. We should be examples in the Bible constantly and talking about the Lord and telling them about the gospel and tell them how important it is. And just every day be involved in the Lord one some way, somehow. Pray with your children. Have Bible study with your children. Let them understand the importance of God's Word. And it makes all the difference in the world. And we're not to take our children to wrath, but it's awful hard. They decide they want to do what they want to do, and they don't care about what you want them to do. But if you have brought them up to know the Lord, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. And then it goes on. Now it's going to talk about servants. "Be obedient to them that are your masters." Back in those days, they were slaves, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness in your heart, and unto the Christ. In other words, you be obedient to your masters. If you're a slave, be obedient to them, not with just eye service. Verse 6, it says eye service as master men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, we're going to serve our masters just as if we would be serving Christ, see? And in doing so, it'll make a difference. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, see, it says, and not to men. So we who work for people, who we had jobs for people, we should do the same. We should be doing service to our bosses just like we would to the Lord. That's what we should be doing, and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. In other words, when we serve our people, when the children serve the parents, and when the parents serve their bosses in their work, and if you were a slave back then, you serve them, you serve them to as you would to the Lord, you see. And that's what we're supposed to do. And also it says, "And you masters," he's talking about the owner of these slaves, "you masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening." Don't be threatening them all the time, knowing that your master, their master, which is God, also is in heaven, neither is there respect a person with him, you see. They're supposed to treat their people right, too. Then it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Strong in the Lord and power in his might. And that's what we're supposed to do in our life. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What people don't understand, the devil is everywhere. He is everywhere. He has one purpose in mind, is that he He wants to blind us so that we cannot find salvation. That's his number one purpose on this earth, is to keep people from being saved, because he knows he's going to hell, and he wants everybody else to also. And so he's got his ministers everywhere, and they're trying to blind us. And we got to put on our armor. What is our armor? It's our faith in God. It's our faith in God. It's believing the gospel for our salvation. That's the biggest armor we've got. Because he can't touch us when we believe the gospel, because that is salvation. He'll try to blind you to it. He'll say, oh no, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to take Jesus as your Savior. But see, that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus is pointing to what he did on that cross for salvation for the church. And the salvation for that church is that you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that's the greatest armor we got, because what happens afterwards? We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Satan can't deal with you when you have Jesus living in you. He has a horrible time. Oh, he's going to try, but he can't match God living in you. It makes all the difference in the world. And that's the greatest armor we can have. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's everywhere. Satan is everywhere. He owns this country, see. And he's doing everything to turn their back on God and his people. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, verses 13, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having a blessed breastplate of righteousness. See, how do we become righteous? It's God's righteousness. It's not ours. It's his. And when we have his righteousness living in us, it makes all the difference in the world. And your feet, it says, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel. The gospel is a thing that knocks Satan clear out off of his feet. Because when we believe the gospel, that's true salvation. We did exactly what God told us to do, see. And when he tells you to do something, you do it, you see. You obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll always be with him. Always be with him. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What's faith mean? What is faith? Taking God at his word. When you just find what the Bible says, you don't find what people say. You find out what the word says. And you've got to rightly divide the word, because the word in parts of the Bible has nothing to do with you. Like Jesus' earthly ministry. He wasn't talking to Gentiles. He said, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, so when Jesus was talking to the Gentile, meaning to Israel, he wasn't dealing with us at that time. He could only deal with us after the cross. And then he did. He really, really did. And it's just neat as can be. And so, taking that shield of faith, taking God at his word, which ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, the word of God. You take this word of God, you open this book up, but the only part of this Bible that really deals with us Gentiles is Paul's epistles. You see, all these things that we've been hearing, seeing in his epistles, they weren't taught, see. They weren't taught by Jesus when he walked on this earth. Jesus didn't teach the gospel of grace. He couldn't have. He hadn't died yet. He didn't teach about the church, the body of Christ. He hadn't died yet. You see, Peter, James, and John knew nothing of those things. It was revealed to Paul, who was called the apostle to the Gentiles. And we're the Gentiles, and that's who he went to. And he preached this gospel for the salvation for the body of Christ, the church, the true church. And the only people that belong to that church, the body of Christ, are going to be in heaven, you see. And that's why it's tremendously important. You don't find this anywhere else in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read the rest of the Bible. Sure, you should. But you've got to learn how to rightly divide it so you know where you stand. And when Paul's talking he's talking to us. See? He's talking to us. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there let's see, thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, praying. This is tremendously important. I think one of the biggest problems in Christian people is they don't spend enough time in prayer. We need to be praying all the time. We can pray. You can pray driving down the road. In your mind, you can be talking to the Lord. You know, you can be sitting in there. You can turn that TV off and just sit back in your chair and just start thinking about and talking to God through your mind. You can pray all the time. I go fishing. I can sit there in my chair and talk to the Lord. I can hunt deer in a deer blind, sit there for hours, and I can pray all the time I'm there. It's really neat. But we need to continue to pray for each other. We really need help. And God, He listens to our prayers. He knows our prayers. He says that we're supposed to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Everything. Okay, and look what it says in verse 19. And this is neat. And for me, this is Paul said, that utterance may be given unto me. He wants you to pray for him, that the utterance given to him, that I may be open up my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. See, that was his whole purpose in his life, was to preach the gospel. And it made me so mad when I found out that the gospel of salvation and it never was preached to me by any preacher in my whole life. And I told my pastor, I said, I just can't comprehend all these years you've never preached the gospel. That you never preached the gospel for salvation for anybody. And that's all that Paul did preach for the church. And there's no salvation except the gospel. And it never was preached. There's always preaching, taking Jesus as your Savior. You won't find that word in here anywhere. He always points to his death. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he says, make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what he wanted him to pray for. He'd help him to continue to make known this gospel. For which I am an ambassador, he said. I am an ambassador. Just look, turn over here. I'll read it, finish it though. Ambassador in bonds. This I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn back to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And just look at verses 20. He says, now then, I get going too fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As through God did beseech you, by us we beg you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. See? He died on that cross. He paid for our sins. He became sin for us that we might be made righteousness, of God in him. You see, it's what he did on that cross is what that saved us. It's what he did on that cross is what saved us. It's just, and we are ambassadors for Christ, being that we are saved. We are ambassadors for Christ. And then we have the conclusion of this. It says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and the faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. He's talking to these people. He said, peace be to you, brethren, and the love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. That's what he preached, the gospel of grace. See, that was only preached by Paul, and that's the only salvation we have, because Jesus did it all. We're not Jews, and we're not religious. We don't have religion. Religion is working for salvation. Grace is Jesus did it all, and all we got to do is believe it, see? Grace be with you, all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. This finishes the Ephesians, and but we got a few minutes left, and so I thought maybe that we would just kind of go back and talk about the gospel, because that's something that I really, really enjoy, and I believe it's important that we should do so. So let's just turn back to Romans. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 1. I always tell people, this is something that is new to me, see. I haven't known the gospel very long, you see. I've been in church my whole life. I've been involved in church. I've been in several different major denominations. I actually had church in my own home for 18 years. And the pastor that we chose to be our pastor, and when we went from there, we went to his house and had it there for another 5 or 8 or 9 years. I lose track of time. But I've always been involved in the church. I've always been involved in helping missionaries. I've always sent checks to missionaries all the time, my whole life, and been involved in the church completely. And all of a sudden, I found myself, I listened to a man by the name of Les Feldick, and he told me the gospel and pointed it out to me. And I knew it right away. That was the truth. And I studied night and day on it until I just could not believe how I could have missed it. I couldn't believe it. And I started right off in Romans, and you look at the first verse, this first verse in Romans chapter 1, verses 16. This one just blew me away. Romans chapter 1, verses 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Believeth what? The gospel. It didn't say believe that take Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say believe and take Jesus in your heart. It didn't say believe and just believe in Jesus. No, it says to believe the gospel. The gospel. And it's just hard to even comprehend, you see. Salvation, listen, look what it says. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Unto salvation for those that believe. And this is tremendously important. Tremendously important for us, because I didn't never know the gospel. I never knew it. And I didn't know it was the power of God unto salvation. And then when I went from there, I went over to just turn to 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the next chapter over, and look at verses 15. And this really, I looked at this page, and I'm a marker. I'm marking my Bible constantly. And I got things written all over it. I got everything underlined. I got things starred and everything. And there wasn't one mark on this page. And there wasn't one on Romans chapter 1:16 either. There wasn't one mark on it. I never did see it. And I wore out two Bibles trying to understand this Bible, but I never saw it. And look what it says. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare." See, we found out we're saved by the gospel, but it didn't say what it was, see, in Romans chapter 1:16. But this tells you what it is. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and by which you stand." You see, these people already received the gospel. These Corinthian people, they received it, and they stood on it. And also what? "By which also you are saved." And they're saved by this gospel. It says, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." In other words, you have to truly believe this for your salvation, or it is in vain, see. Okay? Go on verse 3. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. You believe this, this is the gospel, and it's by which also you are saved. See, this is salvation for the body of Christ. I didn't know that. I had no idea. I always believed that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and that He had buried and He rose from the dead. But I never believed it for my salvation. Never once. I didn't know that was salvation for the body of Christ. I was always taught taking Jesus as your Savior was. But it's not. This is totally different. Jesus is not pointing at himself. He's pointing to what he did. And it's what he did is what saved us. Because if he hadn't died on that cross to pay for our sins, no one could be saved. No one. And so when he started this body of Christ, this new church, for the salvation for this church, he pointed to what he did, not who he was, see. Because what he did is what saved us. He paid the price, sin debt for us. He died for our sins. And so when God looks at us, when we believe that, see, when God looks at us, we're perfect. We're perfect. Because his son's shed blood has covered our sins forever. Forever. As far as from the east, from the west, it says in the scriptures. In other words, it's totally covered. And that's how we can go to heaven. Because we have no sin. Because it's been paid for. And, of course, obviously, it was by grace. See, unmerited favor. See, we didn't deserve it. We did nothing to deserve it. All we do is believe the gospel. See, that's all we do. And then I like to go from there to finish it up. Well, let's turn to Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then Galatians, then Ephesians. And look what it says. This is just wonderful. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory. Verses 12 and 13, I started at 12, who first trusted in Christ. That was God. God first trusted in Christ. He trusted that he would do what he did. He would go down on this earth and he'd walk as the Messiah. And he knew he was going to die. But he died on that cross to pay for our sins. See, he took on a human body so he could die. And God trusted him, but it says, in whom also ye trusted. We trusted also. But when? After you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel of what? Of your salvation. In whom also, after you believed. Believed what? The gospel. The gospel. You were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Think about that. That's God living in you. Think about that. You see, that's why our salvation is unmerited. It's by the grace of God. Because, you see, he does it all. We don't have rules and regulations. Oh, we have things that we don't want to do anymore. But we don't have rules and regulations. All we have to do is believe the gospel. And as soon as you truly believe it, that Holy Spirit comes into you, and that's Jesus. That's God. That all three of them are one. That's God living in you. And he's going to keep you until the day he comes and takes us home. He's going to do it. Not us. He's going to do it. And I always told people that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look what it says. This is just blows my mind. God's going to do it all. That's the gospel of grace. He saves you by believing the gospel. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. He fills you with the Holy Spirit. And now he's going to keep you. You can't lose your salvation. He's going to keep you. Look at verses 23. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means not being holy. This is holy. Totally just engulfed. Holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body. I mean, that's everything you are. And body, see. Everything. Soul and spirit and body. What? Being preserved blameless, see, until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when's that? That's when Christ either comes in the rapture to take you home. He's going to keep you blameless till that happens. Or he's going to keep you blameless until you have a physical death here, and your soul and spirit. He'll take your soul and spirit to heaven, and you'll have a new body there in heaven, a spiritual body, to wait for your new body that you will have eventually. But you're not going to be just soul and spirit up there flopping around. You're going to have, you'll be able to talk, you'll be able to eat, you'll be able to visit, you'll be fine, see. But he's going to do it. He's going to keep you blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes in your death or the rapture. But look what it says in verse 24. Look what it says in verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you. Who's the one that called you? That God the Father called you. He's the one that called you. And guess what? Who also will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. How wonderful. He will preserve you. He will. Not us trying to. He will, you see. Has nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with God. And that's the gospel of grace. You see, the churches today have not a clue what the gospel of grace is. You see, they don't. First place, people aren't saved in the churches today. They believe in Jesus for their salvation. Well, Allie, don't you believe in Jesus? Sure, I believe in Jesus. He lives in me. He is everything to me. But Jesus told me. He told me for my salvation, I was to believe the gospel. And I did. And when that happened, the second that it happened to me, he saved me. And not only that, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I've been in the Bible all my life and in church all my life and never had the Holy Spirit, you see. Never. But now there's no doubt. You see, I studied and studied and studied, and I could study for about 10 minutes. And by the time 10 minutes was up, I didn't know what I read or what I studied. And it was just awful. I kept trying and trying. My attention span was about as much as a 2-year-old. And I couldn't understand. But the second I told Jesus that I believed the gospel, and I told him what it was, and that's what you got to do today. You got to say, Lord, I believe the gospel. Get by yourself somewhere. Sit down in a chair and just sit down and say, God, I believe this gospel. I believe it, and then name it, that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, and you believe that, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And 10 hours later, I was still studying and understanding everything, and every day since then, I've been in the Bible tremendously, from 8 to 10 hours a day, most every day, and I love it. So, believe the gospel, and be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And your life would just begin all over again. It's wonderful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these people that are listening. I just pray they would all come to the knowledge of the gospel for their salvation and be sealed with that Holy Spirit, and Jesus will be able to live with them for eternity. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.